He's religious about it. Insane, we call him. By that we mean he is insanely focused. A couple of us watch as he assumes the crab stance with his feet up on the bleacher bench. Feet remaining on the bench, he lowers his upper torso until his broad shoulder blades rest on the mat below. He remains that way, his knees bent 120 degrees as he breathes in and then out. Then, in the most controlled of motions, he presses backward. And using only the strength in his neck, he balances his weight on his head. Several sets of push-ups are completed in this manner, as they are every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday afternoon, all part of his training regimen. He wrestles at the 185-pound weight class, stronger than he is talented. Brad was never really more than an acquaintance, but I had also known him for a long time, most of my young life. His family went to the Presbyterian church that my family sometimes attended. Despite spotty anecdotal evidence of Sunday morning piety, we spent a lot of time there. My mother, and by extension, my family, cleaned the church for an extra source of income. While my sister and I were young, our parents made an earnest effort to be in the building during Sunday services. This also included Sunday school, or daycare, with a predetermined direction. The adults would go to church to display their religiosity, and the kids whose parents were merciful, along with those who would not behave, me being the second, were sent to Sunday school for some Crayola and crucifix. That was where I met Brad. Though well-behaved, even at that age, his parents were of the merciful variety. Together we learned that Jesus loved us. Yes, we knew, because the songs we sang told us to. I don't know if it was mercy on the part of my own parents, relenting to my maniacal protest, or at the request of those charged with the production. But only one time did my parents make me participate in the Christmas play. Strangely enough, I remember it fondly now. I was one of the three wise men, along with Brad and Greg Peterson. Parents think kids are like dogs. If they're the same age, they'll get along. But when you get stuck with a bully, you're in for a long day. Greg was a pretty typical bully, so Brad and I bonded in our mutual defense from him. The play went well, as all of us kids carried out our coerced, in my case, forced presentation to our audience. Parents, grandparents, city council, clergy, and pseudo-socialites all were beaming, mentally patting themselves on the back for the glorious production. And as insincere as any adult sentiment may have been that night, our delight was as honest as it gets. The play was over, the Christmas service was over, and we were finally going to realize the true meaning of Christmas, unwrapping our presents. That experience was as close to becoming actual friends that Brad and I ever got. He was always nice, but he kept to himself, and we were just cordial acquaintances. As my sister and I got a little older, our parents got tired of dragging us to Sunday services, and it became more like once a month, drifting toward two. I was 10 or 11 when my grandma died of cancer. It was her second bout, having beaten it once already. She was a very religious woman, and she was pious through to her very painful end. Once around that time, I asked my mom why we were putting $5 on the collection plate. It was my job, while Kelly and I only got 25 cents a week for our allowance. She didn't answer me. This startled my sensibilities because it usually meant she was too angry to respond. But in looking at her, she was not angry with me. And while she didn't say so, I think she conceded the point. It wasn't long after that we stopped attending services altogether. Mr. Patrick, Brad's father, was a science teacher whose classes I had far too many times during my middle and high school years. He was a wrestling coach and he ran his classroom like a boot camp. Over the years, he and I developed quite a rivalry. He was humorless, and to me, boredom was a serious affliction. Around the end of 11th grade, I found out from my mother that Mrs. Patrick had died. She had been fighting cancer for nearly 2 years. Not long, really. Probably long enough. Like my grandmother, it had gotten to her liver, and you don't come back from that. I'm 42 now. As the years have gone by, when I think I'm feeling too sorry for myself, when I need to manufacture motivation, when I'm trying to find an example of strength, Brad Patrick is one of those people who I remember most commonly. It's strange to me that someone with whom the majority extent of my relationship, I have already told you, plays such an important role in my mind. It doesn't bother me. I mean, why not? Brad was a good guy, probably even better. I felt bad that I never made more effort to talk to him when I saw him in the weight room. I also doubt, though, that it bothered him that I didn't. Back then, when I found out about his mother, I felt horrible for him. And then, same as now, I couldn't pretend to know what to say in the face of such a reality. Over the years, I've wondered if he ever saw his seemingly emotionless father cracked by the grief. I've thought about the fortitude it must have taken to try to be his mother's 16-year-old son, to hold her hand while cancer drove her spirit from its vessel, slowly, with maximum trauma. And I always come back to the visual of him working out, by himself, on the other side of the room, lifting all of his weight onto his neck and head, pushing back. I was there for light training. For Brad, it was already his life.